Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Ruth, thank you very much for that. Now, addiction counsellors across the country have been reporting a dramatic increase in those seeking help for drug addiction, with cocaine, alcohol and synthetic opioids causing devastation to many. One addiction counsellor, Joe Tracy, said recently, "I made the comment last year that it was snowing in Galway. You could up that now and say it is blowing a blizzard. It's everywhere, every little village, every little townland, every little boreen with the grass growing down the middle." And that is just one issue facing Colin Burke, who's been appointed Minister of State with responsibility for public health, well-being and the national drug strategy. We'll be speaking with the newly appointed minister in just a moment, but first, to get a sense of what's happening on the ground, we're going to speak with Pauline McKeown, who is chief executive of the Coolmine Treatment Centre. And Pauline, you're welcome to the programme. How would you assess the state of the drug crisis in Ireland at the moment?
Well, we're certainly seeing an increase of people presenting with problem drug use. We'd work with over 2,500 people per year, and that's a 6.5% increase. We're seeing a 6.5% increase in the numbers of people desperately seeking treatment and support in the first 3 months of this year. Last year, that was a 23% increase. We have a number of services dotted across various regions. And I think what we're seeing in terms of the Cork region, we're seeing alcohol. It remains a key issue, presenting for both men and women. The biggest referral source we're seeing there is 59% of all of our referrals there are coming from hospitals and the mental health services. We're also seeing, for example, in the Kerry region, a 22% increase in those who have been admitted to treatment across our services there. Again, a rise in mental health referrals. Also, alcohol, cannabis and cocaine prevalent in the Kerry region. And in the Midwest, in the Limerick and wider Midwest region, we're seeing alcohol, benzodiazepines, and we've seen a 41% increase there in people seeking treatment.
Those are extraordinary
figures. In our Dublin
and
East, they really are, Sarah. And in our East region services, we're still seeing a somewhat prevalence of opiate use. We're certainly seeing the rise of the synthetic opioids, nitazines, and we continue to see cocaine. Across all our services, okay, there has been an increase in problem cocaine use.
And do you have the resources in place to help people?
Well, in collaboration with the HSE, we have expanded the Coolmine services, what we were just in East Region services. In the last 3 years, we've opened 2 services in the Midwest region and 6 services across Cork and Kerry region. And that's to attempt to respond better to very vulnerable members of Irish society. The clients that we're working with, Sarah, they're often coming from, you know, a lot of social deprivation. They're coming from homelessness. They're coming directly from prison. And they're often a family, you know, there's an intergenerational impact within their family. So parents, you know, they could be the second or third generation of a family that is impacted by addiction. There's multiple complexities, and underpinning all of those needs is experiences of trauma. Yeah. You know, they haven't had it easy.
So there's complex treatment services required then. You say you've expanded. Is there a waiting list, or do you have the resources you need to deal with the demand, given those increases that you've outlined?
We do have waiting lists. And for example, for the men's residential unit, it's a 35-bed residential unit. There's 92 men waiting, trying to get into that service today. We have 2 women-specific services, and those are residential services supporting pregnant women, homeless pregnant women, homeless women with young children with addiction issues. And in totality, we have 38 beds there across nationally, and we have over 40 women trying to access those. So there's definitely, and across the national voluntary drug and alcohol sector, I'm giving you the Coolmine examples.
Yeah.
You know, our peer agencies are all reporting the challenges with increased demand for service,
okay,
increased demand to respond to services, and the same level of funding and service provision that they can provide. So there's definitely, okay, a need for investment.
We're going to speak to the minister in just a moment, but just before I go to him, if you were appointed Pauline Minister for Health or Minister for Drug Strategy tomorrow, what would be the first most important thing in your view to do?
I think this is a cross-departmental issue. It's not just a health issue. In terms of providing prevention, harm reduction and recovery services for people and their families and their children impacted by drugs. We really want to make a difference here. We need to look at this as a cross-departmental issue. Okay. We need to support people with housing. We need to support people with employment. We need to invest in communities where there's significant social deprivation. And I think a key piece for our incoming minister is the fact that we had the Citizens' Assembly on drugs last year. A really important national conversation took place. There's 36 recommendations in the Citizens' Assembly on drugs. I particularly welcome the emphasis on recovery for marginalised disadvantaged communities, the call for greater prevention, the implementation of a health-led response.
All right, well, let's talk to the Minister
from the
about some of those.
Response.
All right, Pauline, thank you very much. And we're good to talk to the Minister about some of those now. And you're welcome, Minister Kallenbach, to the programme this evening. Congratulations on your new appointment, your first day in the seat as Minister.
my first few hours in the position, so, and thank
sure.
you very much. And I think your last speaker has set out quite clearly the challenges that are there. And I think it's going to be hugely important that we get the necessary support funding and give support to the agencies like she was speaking about who are already there providing services.
So is that something that you're going to be looking for already in the budget? Is that something that you put your mind to?
I think it's, I think every family in this country has been affected somewhere or other as a result of addiction, and we now need to really, she is correct in saying it's cross-departmental areas in the sense that you're talking about the whole area in relation to prevention of the availability of drugs. For instance, in fairness to the Gardaí, over the last few months there have been substantial work done by them, but still drugs are freely available, and unfortunately people start them off on experimental and then unfortunately then get addicted very fast, and it's a huge challenge that we now have to deal with.
I'm not going to put that question to you. We had a discussion on this programme a couple of weeks ago about prevention and the amount of a huge increase in drugs being imported into Ireland at the moment, and the discussion was around that we are being seen now as a soft touch here in Ireland because we're not patrolling our waters in terms of trying to catch the drug cartels importing drugs because we only have one naval vessel operating. Because there aren't the staff to operate any other boats.
It is a challenge, but in fairness to the Gardaí, they have made substantial fines in the last number of months, and there is a lot of work being done by them. And, we need now to see it's not only about making sure drugs are not coming in, but also about education and about prevention, because no matter what you do in relation to trying to prevent drugs being imported, people are going to get access to them.
You could do more, couldn't you? And I'm wondering, is that something that you're going to try and discuss with your colleagues in the Department of Justice, that more needs to be done to try and halt the huge increase in the importation of drugs into this country?
And the other problem is that Ireland, it would appear now, is being used as, bringing in from South America and then being exported on to other countries. What we have to be concerned about here is about reducing down the level of drugs that are coming in, but also making sure that we start the whole process. And in fact, a lot of work has been done already about getting the message out there about the dangers of even experimenting with drugs. And I've come across a number of families recently. I've had a number of families on to me where They're people in their early 20s ending up in psychiatric units because it has triggered other health problems, and that's a problem that then is there for a long time to come, and
so
it's a huge challenge now.
The importation of drugs is one thing that you're going to be looking at. What then about the Citizens' Assembly on drug use? As Pauline mentioned, there has published 36 recommendations to government. Now, government has decided we need to set up an Oireachtas committee, apparently, to look at what the Citizens' Assembly looked at in detail. And we were told a couple of months ago by your predecessor, Hildegard Nocton, that Oireachtas committee will be up and running by March or April. Is it up and running yet?
I actually haven't got a briefing on it yet. Obviously, it's something that, you know, the report has been produced by the Citizens' Assembly. You know, I brought in my own private member's bill on something a number of years ago after a report was published, and 8 or 9 years later there was nothing done, and that's why I brought in a private member's bill. I would be very anxious that the Oireachtas Committee would get up and running and that we would deal with the 36 recommendations.
Well, we're now mid-April and no sign of it.
Absolutely. Well, look, that's what is landed on my desk. As I said, I'm only in the position within the last few hours. I have a lot of work to do in relation to familiarising myself with all of the issues that the department is facing, and also how we can deal with the challenges that are out there.
Well, Aon O'Riordan, the Labour Party TD, has suggested that this committee, whenever it gets up and running, should sit through the summer months to try and come to some decision on the recommendations so that some actual action can be taken. Would you be supportive of that?
Well, I mean, I think that would be in the hands of the committee itself as regards what it would do. I can't, as a minister, dictate what a committee would do, what its format would be.
But would you be supportive of that?
I would be supportive of it, of examining the recommendations, the 36 recommendations, see what can be implemented in a timely manner, and let's get on with trying to improve the situation that we currently have.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem here, Minister, is that realistically this government has, you know, what, 7-8 months of actual real time to do business when you take into account the different recesses. So we're very short in time here.
Absolutely,
during the summer to try and get to some actual action in the middle of what has been described as a drugs epidemic.
I would certainly recommend that the recommendations that are set out in this Citizens' Assembly would be dealt with in the earliest possible date, but it wouldn't be for me to dictate how committee deal with it. But I would be encouraging and would hope to work with my colleagues as regards getting this work done, and that we can then deal with the actual implementation.
One of the recommendations in the 36 recommendations from the committee is that the government would provide leadership and accountability at the highest political level to address the use of drugs in Ireland, including a dedicated cabinet committee chaired by the Taoiseach. Now, surely you don't need an Oireachtas committee to sit around for a couple of months and discuss that recommendation. That's something that could be done today.
And it's something, obviously, that once I get a full, I suppose, as I said, I'm only in it a few hours. I need to get a full briefing on all of the work that the department has already done, and then sit down as regards prioritising what I believe can be delivered in a short period of time. This is an issue that we have to face up to, that we have to deal with. There are recommendations there. Let's not park it. Let's get on and try and deal with it.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about your new boss, the new Fine Gael leader, Simon Harris. A lot of criticism from the opposition today that he didn't turn up on his first day in the job for leaders' questions. What do you make of that?
Well, he had a number of pressing issues that he had to deal with, and he made it quite clear that these were important things to deal with. It's not, he would have preferred to have been there, but unfortunately the way the schedule is
organised. Three phone calls, wasn't it?
I'm not sure how long it was. More than three phone calls. My understanding was that it was not just phone calls, it was discussions, and it was on a number of key areas. And I think
but
it's
is
important.
That not just diary management, Minister? I mean, and shouldn't his priority not be
he's only in office within the last, you know, 36 hours. So obviously these glitches happen from time to time.
Well, it's not a glitch. It's a decision, isn't it? That you decide, I'm not going to go to leaders' questions because I'm going to hold what are no doubt very important phone calls. I believe one of them was with the UK Prime Minister. I mean, we all recognise that's important. But you'd wonder, would the UK Prime Minister not go in for Prime Minister's questions to the UK Parliament because he has a phone call with Simon Harris?
Well, all I'm saying is that the Taoiseach has made it quite clear he will be dealing with questions in the order of business next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. So he will be there. And, you know, this obviously is not ideal, but unfortunately it was the way
was
the schedule
was. Was it a bad decision? Given he had time to put videos up on TikTok and Instagram, was it a bad decision?
It's not for me to comment, but I wasn't there and he wasn't the person that organised the schedule. So I'm sure, he will give a full, as I said, he's in Tuesday, next Wednesday. He will be able to deal with all of the pressing questions that are there. And I don't think that anything that was going to be raised today, it's not something that will change over the next few days.
All right, Minister of State, Colin Burke, thank you very much for joining us.